right. Praise the Lord. All right. Good to see you tonight. Good to be in church Thursday night. Amen. Let me start with this right here. There's a sweet little boy. Loved his grandma. Wanted to be a blessing to her. Wanted to surprise her. And he was staying over at grandma's house one night. And next morning, while she was reading her Bible, he is in the kitchen, and he is going to make her a cup of coffee and be a blessing to her, and he did. And he carried it in there to where she was reading, and I said, Grandma, I made this for you, and he handed her the cup. And like a little kid would do, he didn't just give it to her and wait for a report later. I mean, he stood there while she took a sip and another. And I mean, his intention was to stand there until she drank the whole thing. And she saw that early on and proceeded to drink it. And truth be known, this is how grandmas are. They will smile when they don't feel like smiling. Here's what I mean. It was the nastiest cup of coffee she'd ever had in her life. And he's just sitting there beaming, waiting for a good report because he wanted to please her. And she gets down to the bottom of it, and there's three little green army men. Army men. Yeah, you get that? And she looked at them, and she looked up at the little boy, and she said, Johnny, why are there three little green army men in the bottom of the cup? And he just looked at her and said, well, Grandma, I heard on the radio that the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Amen. Amen. They say, why do you do that? Well, it reminds me to not take myself too seriously. So then when we open the Word of God, we can take the right things seriously. I say it because I've been in meetings where I think the preachers took themselves more seriously than anything else. And that just kind of makes me want to vomit. I know that's not politically correct, but yeah, I ain't running for nothing. Amen. So, amen. So tonight, take your Bible and open to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a familiar passage, I'm confident. And little Johnny must have wrote Spurgeon on there, but I think I can read it. And it looks like I only get one cup per week, so I'm going to take it easy on this. Oh, there, at least there's no... Whoa, no soldiers in the cup. In Ephesians chapter 2, and familiar ground, let's read verse 8. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If you're saved here tonight, it's because you got saved by grace through faith. And plus nothing, minus nothing. And us independent Baptists, we want to make sure that people know that we're not saved by works. We'll read verse 8 and 9 together so fast it almost sounds like one verse. Amen. And the reason we do that is because so many people think that you are saved by works. And some that believe that you're saved by grace through faith believe you're kept by works. And I tell you what, that's just too complicated for me. I think I'm just going to... Like, just believe what the Bible says. That's what works for me. But it does say in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. If you're saved, that's who. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, big difference there. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember, well, let's go ahead and read verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I wasn't a big a horror movie film a buff when I lost. I certainly don't play around there now. It's of the devil. I hate to break it to you, but Harry Potter's not cool. There's no good vampires. Burn your Twilight stuff, okay? I don't know where that came from, but maybe it came from God. I don't know. Maybe that was necessary for somebody here. But I say all that to say this. I'm not a timid person. Never was. Don't scare easy. But I'm going to tell you what. But I can tell you right now, absolutely the most terrifying thing that I can possibly conceive is contained in that verse we just read, number 12, without Christ, without hope, without God. That right there. Now, there's a time that didn't bother me a bit because I didn't know any better. But now, that's absolutely the most terrifying concept in the world. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on the thought here, a world without God. A world without God. What a horrible, terrifying reality that, well, was, is for some, it would be. Thank God we don't have to live there anymore. All right, let's pray again. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for giving us the faith that we needed to even see our need that you went a long distance to meet. We don't claim to be worthy of it. We don't claim to have deserved it. But God, we're sure thankful tonight that you are willing to go the distance for us. Help us to just get a hold of something this night, this week, that'll encourage us to stand a good fight for your sake. Remind us tonight, Father, of this simple truth that there was a time when we lived in a world without God. May it remind us that a lot of people still do, and we've got the cure for that. And Lord, tonight, I just pray that whatever the needs are, God, we just submit ourselves to your still small voice and allow you to minister to us, because the truth is, we know just by virtue of our presence here tonight, we admit and confess that we need you more than you need us. So do something, Lord, that'll bring your Son honor and glory, and we'll sure thank you for that. And we pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now that book that preacher talked about back there on the table. Now that's I don't know. I called it an autobiography once. My wife corrected me, and she said it wasn't really an autobiography. It's like a 15-year window of my life. It's a memoir of the days just prior to coming to the Lord. It was written in such a way to establish my credibility with the motorcycle crowd. Now, not just the gang by any means, but it was written in such a way to establish my credibility with them so that I would have credibility when I presented the gospel to them. And the reason it was written that way is for years, I referenced Mark 5:19 last night about the Lord telling the maniac Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee, how great things the Lord has done for thee, and have that compassion on thee. And that kind of was the passage that God confirmed my call to preach. He showed me that if God could use him, then maybe he could use me. And I just, I took it that way. But I've never been able to do what he told that fella, to go home to his friends. Now, I preach and I go to jails and juvenile and all that kind of thing. But the biker crowd that God saved me out of, I wasn't able to really go back and rub shoulders with at first, because it was just too close to the old life and I didn't need to be that close. I got all the way out and all the way in over here and in the Bible and in church and things like that. But as I matured spiritually, I wondered, how am I going to do that? And I asked the Lord about that, because, I'm not going to try to pretend I'm something I'm not anymore. Amen. To try to win them, that doesn't work anyway. People see right through that. I tell people, say, well, how should I minister to the bikers? I said, just be yourself, because if you try to be something you're not, they'll blow you off so fast. Amen. But the Lord showed me, write it down. You got all this experience. Write a book. And so that's what we did. And it took a while, and we talked about it last time, and it came out, and that's what it is. Now, I use that as, I'm not selling books. I say all that to say this. in the course of writing all that, boy, I'll tell you what, I was acutely aware and repeatedly reminded of the time when I lived in a world without God. And I'll tell you what, at the end of that thing, there was no longing to go back. There was no reminiscing over the good old days. And some of the reviews that were published on the internet said there's nobody that could have done all that. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? For every story that made it in that book, there are 10 that couldn't be printed. For everything that was okay to write to accomplish the purpose of holding a person's interest to get them to the gospel, there were probably 10 things that I had to relive that caused me to have nightmares. But if it works, if God will use it, then it was worth it. But I just got to say this right here. When it's all said and done, I am rejoicing that I no longer live in a world without God. Amen. I went to a doctor's office, I don't know, last year sometime. I went to a doctor's office, and you know, I don't understand this. They give you an 8 o'clock appointment, and they don't have any intention of getting you in till 8:45. I mean, if there's something that's consistent, probably coast to coast, that thing, they, I don't even know what the deal is. And then they put you in the waiting room, and there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. There's 3 magazines. 3 magazines. So, you know, here I am. I'm by myself, and I go there and I pull out this magazine, and it's a magazine about golf. Golf. Now look here. And listen, if you play golf, good for you. I tried it. I was asked by the person that took me never to ask him to do that again. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter how much you may like it, I don't understand how anybody could sit and read a magazine about it. So, you know. Now, I've been in here about 30 seconds, and that one's back in the rack, so I got a long time to go. So I go for the second magazine, and it's about sailboating. Now, looking, I like boats. I know this is the land of 10,000 lakes. I was driving up here where was it? Iowa. That's what's up. I went by this little pond, and I just wondered, you know, what qualifies as a lake around here? Just how big? I wonder if that's one. That's a pond in Ohio, but maybe it's a lake up here. I understand there's probably a lot of boats up here. Listen, I like boats. I've got nothing against. I like boating. I've had some boats. But listen, if I was going to be a boater, it wouldn't be a boat that you had to raise a piece of cloth and wait on the wind to determine whether or not you're going to get to point A or point B. I would want a boat with a big V8 personally. Amen. Or a 240 horse Merc, you know, on a bath. That, you know, I've done it. But sailboating, what am I going to read a book? So, I've been in the doctor's office about 60 seconds now. That's back in the rack. I'm looking at my watch. I got a long way to go. Third magazine. People. I looked at that. I tell you what, I went, that is softcore pornography. It is. I'm going to tell you what, in the world, it got into those people's heads that think we care about what they wore to dinner last night and all that foolishness. So, amen, I was tempted to go back to golf. But I said, surely there's something to do. Let's see if we can't find something to read. I just happened to carry the one that we affectionately call the track that works. Yeah, a little biased maybe. And I pulled a track out. I read it every couple years. I mean, I do. And I've been out 20 years now, 21. I started reading that thing, and I'm going through it. And I'm going to tell you what the impression I was left with. And I don't ever recall being left with that impression before. I thought to myself, could that really have been me, the subject. I mean, I'd been saved long enough, and 22 and a half years. Now, they said it wouldn't last, but it seemed to be lasting. I mean, if it doesn't, I don't think the problem's with the gospel, okay? But I've been saved now in church, serving the Lord this whole time. And, well, yeah, I got reading that. And that, thank God, that is so far, so distant in the rearview mirror that I had to stop and think, wow, was that really me? And it was. When I lived in a world without God, and again, I just got to take the opportunity to say I'm sure glad I don't live in a world without God anymore. And just to be honest with you, it's hard to imagine life in a world without God. Like, for example, when it comes to rough stuff, like when you go to the doctor and you get a real serious diagnosis and you know that your life just changed because all of a sudden your future is going to be a series of treatments and amen, some serious stuff, amen. Or what happens if something really tragic happens out of the clear blue? Listen, I wouldn't even want to think about how people deal with stuff in a world without God. I know how they do. They deal with it with pills and liquor. I'll tell you what, the biggest drug problem in America, I'm going to tell you, the biggest drug problem in America is prescription drugs. I preach to people that are high, in church, medicated on prescription drugs, and I can tell some of them, and I'm not saying don't flush all your pills. I'm not saying there's a time and place for medication. I'm not saying that there's not. Amen. But I'm telling you what, feeling good feels good. And it's real easy to over-medicate. And you live in a world without God, and you can't go to God to help you through rough stuff. Amen. We live in a society that's exactly how people deal with stuff. Serious diagnosis or what about even terminal notices. I remember when they, Brother Hansen and his wife went up to the front of charity and announced to the church that Brother Mike had been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. Man, I'm talking about, if I ever saw weeping and wailing, it was that night at our church as a precious saint of God had to reveal that he was for sure dying. Amen? And boy, you know what we did? We went to the altar, we went to prayer, we went to God. I can't imagine what that situation, a scenario would have been like in a world without God. But people go through that stuff all the time, or a sudden death of a loved one or a tragedy in a world without God. Again, people deal with it with drugs and liquor and suicide. Amen. In a world without God. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It seems like more and more, I don't know if it's because it's happening so much more and more or because of the way we're interconnected with the media. We just hear about stuff more and more. But boy, it's just tragedies and situations, school shootings and things like this. I know this, when something happens, I mean even when somebody dies in a car wreck, something happened at our home church, our school there, in the high school by where we live, and there's a tragic car wreck, a football player, and then the next day, the grief counselors invade, and that's what they do. In a world without God, they send in a whole industry dedicated to counseling about comfort. That how can they know anything about it if they don't know the God of all comfort? And I'm not saying there's not a time and a place for some of that stuff. I'm not just across the board condemning everything tonight. But I am saying this tonight. What people need more than counseling is they need God. They need the Lord. It's hard to imagine life without God now, at 22 years this side of the cross, and I know I was there a long time, almost 38 years, but boy, now it's hard. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. I tell you what, interesting how people deal with good things in a world without God. Amen. Not just tragedy. Good things. How do people celebrate the accomplishments of their life? What a joy it was to enjoy Seth and Caitlin's children today. What a blessing it is. What a thing. What a reason to go to God and thank Him for a healthy baby. Amen. A lot of people have healthy babies. Who do they think? They hand out cigars. That's good. That's good. Amen. Who do they think? What about people that go to the doctor worried about an issue and get a clear diagnosis? Say, amen. Praise the Lord. I know what I do, but what do you do in a world without God? Evie, some of you have asked, but Evie, I tell you what, that girl did not inherit her father's driving something capability. In 1 year, three cars. Totaled them. Amen. I mean, that girl's got more experience with an airbag than a crash dummy. Yeah. And I mean, she's like this. That thing, boom, blows up, and she shakes it off. She gets out of the car and goes, whoa, that like sounds like me. Amen. But, amen. But I'll tell you what, listen, she calls and she's crying. Listen, I'm telling somebody, and she texts, man. I hear she texts. And so that's why I'm here. And then, Evie's calling. Dad, you'll never believe what happened. So then I get the news about car number one. And that was hers. The other two are mine. I had to sign an agreement. I think they asked for blood with my insurance company never to let her drive another vehicle of mine. And I said, no problem, amen. And then, I don't know, 6 months went by, it happened again. And I find, Evie's calling. Dad, I totaled the car. Listen, I got to the point where, you know, the text I liked, but I didn't want to see her calling. And I finally get to the point where when she calls, I'm like apprehensive, but, yeah. Oh, hi, just checking in. I'm going, oh, boy, I thought this day would never come. So as tragic as that is, and as, you know, boy, I tell you what, every time I got that thing, I was able to get on my knees before God and thank God she was all right. Thank God nobody else was ever been hurt. I mean, she's rough on cars, boy. But she ain't hurt anybody. She ain't hurt herself. And my Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Safety's of the Lord. And boy, that's who I go to and thank. But what do people do? What do people do when good things happen in a world without God? A lady up in Ohio, she won the lottery. She is like most people, regular people, lost people. She is behind in her bills and worried about the economy and the situation and things like that. And she's playing the lottery and she won. She won. She didn't win the Powerball. I don't know. I think they call it. She didn't win the multi-million-dollar lottery. She just won one of them little puny lotteries, like $750,000. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, do you have something against being a millionaire? I said, I am still trying to be a thousandaire. I mean, that's what I'm working at. Every time I start to approach it, something breaks, and there we are, back down to being 100-aires. Amen. Which God knows exactly. I'm telling you, I got the memo by now. But this lady, she doesn't know God. She's not thanking God. She's doing what comes natural. She won enough money to pay the government, 2/3 of it probably, and pay her bills off, and she's going to throw a party for her friends. That's what people do. So she throws a party for her friends up there in Sandusky, Ohio, in a little bar. And she's the life of the party. Everybody loves that. Drinks are on me. And I'm not saying it was wild and out of hand or anything. It was just doing what lost people do. But, boy, later in the night, everybody gets a little inebriated. And she takes 2 steps out the front door, right off the sidewalk, gets hit by a car, and killed. Yeah, now she didn't take any of that with her. World without God. You ever notice this? In the illustration that I just gave, and perhaps something that comes to mind, you'll see that this bears to be true. In a world without God, people handle bad news and good news the same way. Drugs, alcohol, party. That's what they do. Talk about a What an existence. Amen. World without God. Let me say it again. I'm glad I don't live there anymore. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about a world without God tonight. Three things. Very simple message. World without God. Verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. So what does that mean? I think it means what it says. I mean, doesn't it? Was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Before the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water, there was no light. It says that the earth was without form and void. And I just want to say to you tonight, a world without God is void. Is void. Now in this case, it means empty. He said, let there be light. And without God, there's no light, no physical light, no spiritual light. Light's just void. A life is just void. But, you know, that word void means something else too. It also means this right here, as you turn to Proverbs 7. It means destitute of logic, reasoning, and common sense. I'm saying again, world without God tonight is void. And go there in Genesis, empty in that regard. Let's look at Proverbs 7 and look in at verse number 6. The Bible says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Void of understanding. Doesn't say he's stupid. Doesn't say he's ignorant. Doesn't say anything like that. Of course, his actions after, you know, indicate there's some lack. But the Bible tells you what it is. It says he's void of understanding. And to figure out what that is, Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A world without God, a world that's where the Word of God, I mean, this is where understanding comes from. This is where the knowledge of the holy comes from. It's not going to be on the Discovery Channel tomorrow night. Amen. It's not going to be on your radio tomorrow. Knowledge of the holy comes out of the key of knowledge, out of the inspired Word of God. So what this guy has got here is a lack of understanding, a lack of things that pertain to God. In other words, he's living in a world without God, and the Bible says he's void of understanding. And let me say to you tonight, you can have an IQ of 180 and lack understanding if you don't have God in your life, if you don't have a relationship with God in your life, if you live in a world without God. Well, you can be the smartest one on your block and be void of understanding. You can recite mathematical equations backward and forward, maybe like Einstein, and lack wisdom. Amen. Because wisdom and understanding come from God. So you can have knowledge by the world standards and be void of understanding. In a world without God tonight, there is neither one. There is neither wisdom or understanding. Just a bunch of folks too smart for their own good. Without the sense to acknowledge their Creator. Romans chapter 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In a world without God, man becomes the final authority. And that's what they want. I tell you what, man, you don't have to look too far to see how that's working out. Amen. I'm glad I don't live in a world without God. It is void of some pretty important things. Amen. Psalm 39 in verse number 5. I'll tell you something else. Psalm 39 in verse number 5, the Bible says this, Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. A world without God isn't just void, it's vain. It's vain. Vain means worthless, fruitless, and ineffectual. Dr. Ruckman said this one time, man without, or God without man is still God. But man without God is, well, absolute vanity. Worthless. Amen. Nothing. And a world without God, there are two great tragedies in life. Two great tragedies in life. Number one, not getting your heart's desire. What a tragedy it is that I've seen people, I discussed this with Brother Stevens yesterday about the American dream coming crashing down around people's ears back during the Carter administration, and people that had worked many, many years and were approaching retirement and pension, and all of a sudden all that companies closed and people's dreams were just crushed, and all of a sudden, you know, their life, whatever their goals were, they're no longer attainable. And boy, it is a tragedy. It just causes a bitterness. You go into a nursing home and sometimes you'll see people that are just bitter because whatever their hopes and dreams came crashing down around them, whether it was because of health issues or financial issues or whatever. And boy, it makes for a bitter crowd. The contrast in a nursing home is to go in and see people that are very elderly, sometimes very infirmed, but with a smile on their face, and it's not real hard to tell which ones have God in their life and which ones don't. And God will supersede the worst of circumstances. What a great tragedy to never get your heart's desire in your life. But that's tragedy number one. The second tragedy in life, and of course we're talking primarily about a world without God tonight. Tragedy number two is getting your heart's desire. Because it'll never, ever be what you thought it was. It'll never be as fulfilling as you. You know, it's one thing to be climbing the ladder, but boy, how disappointing it is when you get to the top and realize, this is it? This is what I worked my whole life for? This is what I sacrificed for or aspired to? And a lot of people never realize it, but boy, what a sad thing it is when you get there and, boy, if God's not in it, it's like worthless. Vain is the Bible word. It says in Psalm 127 in verse 1, the Bible says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh. But in vain, without God, in a world without God, our best efforts, our labor, everything, it's just vain. It's sad. We live in a day and age where people think, and sometimes Christians, if only I had lots of money, I'd have no problems. Really? Really? I tell you what, there's a lady in California right now. I don't know what her first name is. Her last name, Jobs. I think she buried her husband last year. Now, maybe she's not sad. You know, she inherited so much, but she wasn't lacking before. Here's a guy with $4 billion plus in the bank, and all that money didn't keep him from dying of cancer, just like you and I would. Amen. All I know, only religious affiliation I ever heard connected with that guy, and he was a genius, there's no doubt about that, was that he might have been a Buddhist. Well, he's a Bible believer tonight. Amen. And all that money didn't keep him out of that place where people go that die with their faith in anything but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And some people think, if only I was popular, if only I was attractive, if only I was more talented, then all my problems would disappear. Well, let's go back to People Magazine, because that's what you got in there. You got the stories of people's lives too. Some of them are attractive, and some of them are gifted and talented and very popular, and their lives are a wreck. In and out of rehab, and in and out of marriages, and I'm gonna tell you what, them people with whether they got money or all the things that the world says you need to have going for you. A lot of them end up drunks and dope heads and perverts. And that's not it. Whatever you think, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you think, if only I had this settled, then I'd have no problem. Whatever you think that is, it's not it. Whatever you think will solve your problems won't in a world without God. You better get God in on it. I'll give you another one. In 1 Corinthians 15, go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. World without God tonight is void. And that means empty, and that's what you got going on over there in Genesis. But it also means destitute of logic and reasoning and common sense. And you can be smart and not have any of that in a world without God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a world without God, let me say, is vain. And what that mean? Ineffectual and worthless. And it says here in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain." And in a world without God, this is what people think. And if you do any personal work, you probably run into this. People think that religion, that's what they call it, is simply a device to control people. And that's how many view church and preaching and the Bible. They look at it like religion, just something to control you. I got news for you. If that's you tonight, if the hair stands up on the back of your neck when the preacher starts getting close to whatever it is that causes that to happen in your life, and you're looking at it like he's just trying to tell me what to do, things like that, you'd do well tonight to leave whatever religion it is that's keeping you from the still small voice of God. You do well to leave your religion on an old-fashioned altar and get a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Because our faith's not vain. Christ did rise. The preaching of that book's not vain either. Amen. But that's how people look at it in a world without God. And again, I'm glad I don't live there anymore. Amen. Alright. Last of all, take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20, verse 18. The Bible says this. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty.'" You know what else there is in a world without God? There's too many vacancies. Vacancies. There's a lot of vacancies in the house of the Lord these days. Years ago, when I first got saved, some of you have been at this a whole lot longer than I have. But even back in the early 90s when I got started on this journey here, boy, I'll tell you what, we'd have a meeting like this, and it was an opportunity to invite other people. Nowadays, a common thread, and, you know, I'm not saying it this way here, I don't know, I don't remember. But something that a lot of churches these days have in common, the preachers just hoping their own people to show up. A lot of vacancies in the house of the Lord. A lot of empty seats vacated by people who never dreamed they'd be out. It's one of the saddest things of a evangelism, to travel around like this and make friends with people, and then maybe see them on every several times during the rotation, and come back and they're not there. And then, you know, we don't assume the worst, and maybe a night or two will go by, and they're still not there, and you haven't heard that they've moved away or been called into a ministry, and you hope the worst isn't the reality, and maybe you'll ask the preacher, and you'll find out, well, something caused them to go. There are people out of church that are saved, born again, King James Bible believers, that never, ever dreamed they'd have the testimony they got tonight. Amen. And it doesn't matter that we live in Laodicea. There's a remnant principle in your Bible, and we can be the remnant, and we don't have to go with the flow. But I tell you what, if you're saved tonight, the Lord it's imperative that, well, let me put it like this. Over there in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says there's one that sat on the throne. And I got news for you. It ain't you. And you know that throne? That's what it is. That's a throne where the king sits. It's not a love seat. I mean, you're not even up there next to him. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord, you can be saved, you can believe the book from cover to cover, but if the Lord Jesus Christ, truth be known, is not on the throne of your life, it's just a matter of time for we'll be preaching at your empty seat. Now, isn't that nice that at least you don't have to worry about losing your salvation? But I'm going to tell you what, some of the collateral damage to the scenario that I just talked about is, I preach in juvenile detention facilities, and I talk to kids who are raised in independent King James Bible-believing churches, who are saved, who mommy or daddy got crossways with something going on at the church, and rather than take care of it scripturally, they're gone. They're vacant. Let me just say this to you in the nicest way I can. If you think, if you remotely consider the possibility that you can do a better job of running your life than God can, you're not only wrong, you're dumb. That was nice because other words were coming into my mind. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what some people, and this is one of the reasons that we have meetings like this, and I don't get briefed, and maybe this doesn't apply, but I got a feeling that some of this stuff, one way or another, applies across the board. If this is you tonight, you might still be here, but backsliding doesn't start when the seat's vacant. Backsliding starts in the, let me say it like this, backsliding doesn't start when the feet take you out. Backsliding starts right there in the seat. Well, the Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so if you've wrested control away from God to you, maybe tonight would be a good night to turn the reins back over to God. Just a thought. World without God, there's some vacancies in the house of God. I mean, amongst Christians who, you know, my preacher told me early on, David, stay in the book, stay on your knees, and stay in church. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's right at my level. Yeah, I mean, here I am coming out of that life of dope and liquor and sin and crime and all that stuff. And here I am, a brand new Christian, and I, just to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was getting into. I got saved because of what I was getting out of. Because I had enough sense to acknowledge that I deserved every bit of it. And I didn't know what I was getting into, but, when I get involved, I get involved. Amen. And he told me, he gave me that three little nuggets. He had handed me a book this thick. You read this, David. I'll tell you what, who knows where I'd be today. But he gave it to me in such a way that I could sink my teeth into it and get a hold of it. stay in the book, stay on your knees, stay in church. Now, I've been in church 22 years now, and I just be honest with you, I can't improve on that advice. It's that simple. Because if you don't, your seat might be empty one day. Won't be me. Yeah. You won't be the last one to say that either. Amen. Just trying to help you tonight. But I'm not done trying to help you. Ezekiel 22. Here's what I say. I'm almost done. You had enough vandals in here. You know this stuff don't mean nothing. We don't even know we're almost done. Some of you are done, but I might not be. You know, I hope that I can maybe get some more water by tomorrow because I'm almost out. I'm good tonight. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, one of the saddest verses in the entire King James Bible. Say, what's the saddest verse in the NIV? Who cares? I don't know. I don't have time to figure that out. Maybe it isn't even in there. That'd be pretty sad. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, the Bible says this, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. None. Again, that has got to be one of the saddest verses in your Bible. But I want to use it to say this right here. There's a lot of vacancies in the service of the Lord these days. You know, when the Lord asks over there now, let me see, Isaiah chapter 6, who will go for us? Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Wait, I mean, it's notable that Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Yeah, he didn't say, go where? He didn't say, well, how long will I be gone? How much will it be? A month. could I take a survey trip? He didn't say that. He didn't even say, let me pray about it. He didn't even pray about it. You know what? Isaiah got a glimpse of God in chapter 6. High and lifted up. He got a glimpse of himself compared to God. See, in chapter 5, compared to Israel, man, he was doing a good job. Woe unto thee! And six times, and he is preaching good. But in chapter 6, he saw himself not compared to everybody else. See, that's what we're good at. We can see what everybody else is doing, and woe unto them! But every once in a while, we do well to get a glimpse of God, because when we see ourselves at our best state compared to Him, then we're going to say what Isaiah said, woe unto me. That's humbling. My Bible says before honor is humility. I know the result of that. No questions asked. Here am I. Send me. But by the time Ezekiel was written, nobody. Not one. I found none. Isn't that sad? Not even one to stand in the gap. You know the context there in Ezekiel 22. I mean, I know where we're at, but it says for the land. And I wonder maybe a lack of people willing to stand in the gap for the Lord might have something to do with why our country is getting farther and farther from God every single day. I don't know. But I know this, when he's not on the throne, there's vacancies in the house of the Lord amongst God's people. And the trickle-down effect right there is there's vacancies in the service of the Lord. I hope the Lord comes back soon because there's less and less people, it seems like, every year that selling out to serve the Lord. Amen. Sad thing tonight to have to report that most people, according to Matthew 7, 13, live in a world without God. And I feel sorry for them. And I'll tell you what, we can make a dent in that. Might not be a very big dent. I like the story about the kid on the beach down in Florida one year when all the starfish washed ashore, and it's a seasonal thing. And it's jellyfish. I'd leave them on the beach. But all them starfish, and the kid asked the guy on the beach, said, what is all that? And he said, well, it's just that, you know, time of year and it happens. And he said, well, what'll happen to them? He said, well, they'll dry up there on the beach and die. And there were thousands of them. And a kid man, he ran down to the shore and grabbed a stick and wedged it under one of them starfish and flung it back out into the water. And the guy said, son, it don't even bother. You can't save them all. And the kid says, I saved that one. And he went on and got another one. And look, I know we got a mess. We can't, but we can do something. We can do something to help some of them. I mean, some of you got saved young. Some of you didn't. Some of you remember what I'm talking about. Some of you remember a world without God. Boy, we've got to go to church four nights in a row. Think back. Think back to where you used to go on a weekend. Think back to where you used to put your money. Think back to the way you used to wake up. Well, I'm glad I don't live in a world without God anymore. I think that whole message is so I can say that about 20 times because I really mean it. But it's a sad reality and a truth tonight that you can be saved and live in a world where God's not on the throne. And truth of the matter is, you can do something about that, and I hope you do. Maybe you take this time tonight and have a little talk with God, invite Him back in. And I'm not talking about getting saved. If you're saved, you're saved. Praise the Lord for that. But I don't know about you. I could stand to be closer to God than I am. I want to be. And so could you. And it's time to do business with the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and close our eyes for a moment. I'm going to get out of the preacher's way. I'm talking about a world without God, but, you know, when we talk about being saved, it gets worse. If you're not saved, it gets worse than even worrying about a world without God. Because if you die without having trusted Christ, without having got in on that salvation that's by grace through faith and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, you'll spend eternity in a world without God, in a world where the devil's 100% running the show, and his hatred from God will be taken out on you, and whatever it is you think, you're really not going to want any part of that. And the Lord made a way. You don't have to have any part of that. World without God tonight. Simple message. You mind God, preacher.
All right, let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Kind of like we did last night. Lord, dealt with your heart. You know very well that the altar's open. Hope you'll come. At the altar to feel rushed at all, but let's all turn to number 385. We're going to sing. Altar is still open. Ever think about the fact that one of the most remarkable things the devil has ever pulled on man One of the greatest delusions and deceits is that the world is worth going after. Well, you stop and think about how many lives it's ruined, how few, none, have really found joy, peace, fulfillment, like we talk about in the world, and yet how zealously people pursue that thing. And you find that true of yourself about certain things, right? No championship ever does it for anybody. No amount of money ever earned, no contract won ever is the ceiling satisfaction of all things. Because the world is just a mirage. It's just tinsel. It's just glitter. It doesn't fulfill. Easy to say. Easy to amen. But it's really true about the thing that you most want in this world. Number 385. In my life, you know, I wasn't in jail. I wasn't a member of the outlaws or anything like that. But I was just as empty and without answers as a saved young man that had been saved for 10 years as any lost guy.
Yeah.
And every bit as miserable. I just wasn't headed for hell. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, kids, young folks, not just little kids, not little wee ones, but kids. Young people, it ain't worth it. It's just,
amen.
It's empty. If you think the championship or the contract or the win or the girl that's a 10 or the guy that's a 10 or having the perfect physique or the perfect hairdo is the answer, I got news for you. It's all empty. And when you get the perfect hairdo, there's going to be something else to work on. Because it's never enough. $300 million. A new athletic contract. It's never enough. And then the guy pops up and says, I have to feed my family somehow. You're a moron. And you're a moron because you're chasing something you can never get a grasp of. I know none of you are ever going to get a hold of $300 million. But you think you can get a hold of something in this world that's going to make you happy. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's still not. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for these things we have heard. Father, it's good to hear the voice of experience. We've heard the voice of God. And we know that you would warn us away from these things and help us to avoid the experience. Well, Brother Spurgeon stood tonight, the voice of experience of a lost man whose experience we know well. I can stand with the experience as a saved man and say that some saved saints can make themselves just as miserable chasing the world as a lost guy and find just as few answers. My Father, the voice of experience speaks, and I pray that you would give us a very real conviction about these things. Help us see it, Father. May the youngest among us feel it in their very hearts that they must stay away from that world. And they must not pursue the tinsel. They must not pursue the glitter. They must not pay attention to the mirrors that flash, because it is all just deception. Pray here, Father, you'd help us to grasp the treasure that we have in earthen vessels, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our bodies, in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Pray that, Father, you'd make these things real to us. We look forward to hearing further what you have for us tomorrow. And, Father, I pray tonight that you might yet speak to those of us going home and getting some rest. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. We plan to be back tomorrow morning at 11 for those of you that are interested in street preaching. I know folks have jobs. You may not be able to go, but you are welcome to go with us. I think there are 5 or 6 guys that raise their hands. Any ladies that are interested in going, you are welcome to go. But we'll see you here at 11. And Lord willing, again at 7 tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.